Good morning. Good to see each of you this morning. Greet you in Christ's name. It's a pleasure and a blessing to be in the house of worship this morning. And I have a feeling most of you probably noticed a little different environment as you pulled into the church parking lot. I was briefly pondered yesterday as I was standing there watching take the trees down whether I should change the message this morning to "Where the tree falleth, there it shall be." But I didn't. There are some of you that are well able to get rid of trees in a quick time. And I do want to say thank you to you, everyone who showed up yesterday, especially those who came with all the equipment to make hard work easy. God bless you for your willing work yesterday. And I trust that what is being done outside is can be such that it would make it easier for people to gather to worship. I think that's really what it's all about. My heart this morning is to share what God has laid on my heart, and God has been working this message into my heart for quite some time, and it applies to my life as I share it. Maybe in different ways. And before I start into the message, I want to remind us again of the message last Sunday that Brother Jess preached, making the gospel attractive, because the message this morning, it probably has a very negative feel to it and is one that we ponder how to make it attractive and think maybe it isn't attractive. But I trust this morning that we can understand the attractiveness of this message for us. And as is usually the situation, when you stand up to deliver a message, you can't share everything about it. And I feel somewhat limited this morning, but I do want to focus in on the part that God pressed on my mind, and whether he takes it further or later, we will leave that up to him. I want to start with one verse, and that is found in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Romans 1, verse 1 says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Now I want to read this verse from the Legacy Standard Bible. And if you're not familiar with the Legacy Standard Bible, it is a translation that its main focus is to be as near as possible to the original writings. It says, Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, having been set apart for the gospel of God. Now, you probably noticed the different word usage there. Title of our message this morning is, A Slave by Choice or a Slave in Bondage? The young man said nothing else. As he stood before the Roman governor, his life was hanging in the balance. His accusers pressed him again, hoping to trip him up or force him to recant. But once more he answered with the same short phrase, I am a Christian. It was the middle of the second century. Marcus Aurelius was emperor. Christianity was illegal, and believers throughout the Roman Empire faced the threat of imprisonment, torture, or death. Persecution was especially intense in southern Europe, where Sanctus, a deacon from Vienna, had been arrested and brought to trial. Sanctus was repeatedly told to renounce his faith, but his resolve was undeterred. I am a Christian. No matter what question he was asked, he always gave the same unchanging answer. According to historian Eusebius, Sanctus would not even tell his name or the nation or city to which he belonged or whether he was bond or free. His answer to all the questions was, "I am a Christian." When at last it became obvious that he would say nothing else, he was condemned to severe torture and a public death in the amphitheater. On the day of his execution, he was forced to run the gauntlet, subjected to wild beasts, and fastened to a chair of burning iron. Though his accusers tried to break him, his rallying cry remained constant throughout his entire trial. "I am a Christian." For Sanctus, his whole identity, including his name, his citizenship, his social status, was found in Jesus. The best answer to the questions he was asked was, "I am a Christian." He was a Christian, and that answer defined everything about him. So my question for you is, if you had to use one word to identify everything about yourself, what would it be? One word to describe the goals of your life, to explain everything about you, your name, your citizenship, your social status, your goals, your motivations, your character. What one word would you use? Paul described himself as a slave. A slave of Christ Jesus. Now, in our King James Bible, we see the word servant, and we'll talk about that here in just a moment. But the original Greek word was the word doulos. Let's look at another doulos in the Bible. Turn to the book of James. James chapter 1, verse 1. And I'm going to insert the word doulos. I'm going to insert the word slave. James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, James was the oldest half-brother of Jesus. Why did James introduce himself as a slave of God rather than a relative of Jesus? I'm assuming if Jesus was our brother, we would be pretty quick to tell people, even if we could connect ourselves back in lineage to maybe the Jews, and we know there was some type of a connection to Jesus, we would be pretty quick to tell people about that. You know, how often do we connect ourselves with someone or something we think is important? We wear clothes with certain brand names. We buy shoes with certain symbols. We wear hats with certain company logos. We wear certain types of fabrics or certain brands of jeans. Why? Because we want to identify with either that company, that image, whatever it is. We want to identify with that. Why? Is it not because of what is in our heart? Is it because of who is the master of our heart? That's the serious question this morning. The real question is, why do we not introduce ourselves as slaves of God? I'm God's slave. I'm a slave of Jesus. You know, Paul is doing that, and it's the first thing that he does. James does it. That's the first thing he does as he opens up his letter. He writes in, "I am a slave of God." Is it because we're ashamed? Is it because we think the world will find it repulsive? Is it because we find it repulsive? Is it because we think the gospel will be unattractive? Really, who wants to become a slave? Maybe a servant, but what about a slave? Or is a slave a servant? And I know we sometimes hear the word bond servant. And in our King James Bible, it uses the word servant quite frequently. Before I go on, I do want to say this, and I want to be clear that I am absolutely not condoning anything about slavery that our culture would know it as. Or in our early American history, we know that there was a lot of slave. And I'm not condoning anything about that. God, we find that God gave instructions about slavery, but that does not mean God was in favor of slavery. God is against slavery, and we know that slavery was present. It was present in the Old Testament, and we find it some in the New Testament. However, I think as we study the Bible, as we travel through scriptures, we can plainly see that God is tightening the noose on slavery. And it's clear in the New Testament that God would instruct us not to have slaves, but to treat each other as brothers and each one as equal. But just think with me for a moment, and I know this is hard for us to imagine, but think about a perfect world, a perfect master, a world, an environment where there is no anger and no misuse of authority. And I know we can't go there because we don't know what that's like. But a slave position could have possibly been a positive solution for someone who was in need and someone who had a problem. And I know that's hard for us to wrap our mind, but I wonder if in the early days, even of Scripture, whether a slave position wasn't a whole lot better than what we think of it now because of everything that's going on in our culture. And I had to wonder this as well. And again, this is just speculation. But there are so many similarities between a slave position and a believer's position in Christ that I wonder if Satan hasn't purposefully made a slave position very bad and very undesirable, just so that we as Christians would be repulsed by it. Because I'm guessing in most of our minds we're thinking, a slave? Does the Bible really mean a slave? Why not just the servant? Isn't that what the Bible means? So what is a slave? What is a slave? What is the characteristics of a slave? Let me remind you. A slave is bought with a price. A slave is bought for a price. A slave is in the absolute control of his master. A slave's singular goal is to carry out the will of his master. A slave is completely dependent on his master for what is necessary for life. And a slave is entirely accountable to his master. Now again, we know that that picture gets so very dark with the misuse and the human and the world of sin that we live in. And thankfully we do not have, I guess we do still have slavery. It's just a different picture than what it was back then. But why not a servant? Hired servants could choose their master and they could quit if they wanted to. Hired servants were in it for what they could get out of it. Hired servants could say what they wanted to do and what they didn't want to do. And now I know our English Bible uses the word servant, and I do not want to imply that I am criticizing that at all. And there are different forms of the word servant to understand that, and we don't have time to go into all that this morning. But my burden is this, and I want to have us beware of this, that the concept of servant may influence us more than we think. You know, we think we can decide what to do and what not to do. We think we can decide how much we will do. We think we can decide when we will do it or if we will do it. Oswald Chambers says, a servant of God is one who has given up forever his right to himself and is bound to his Lord as his slave. I invite you to turn back to Romans chapter 6. I want to read a few verses from Romans 6 and take a few points from this passage. Romans chapter 6, our subject this morning is a slave by choice or a slave in bondage. We want to examine more closely this position of being a slave. I have 3 points I want to make this morning. The first one is, you are a slave. Second one is, choose your master. And the third one is, consider the consequences. Romans 6, and I'm going to be using the Greek word that is interpreted slave as I read, starting in at verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves slaves to obey, his slaves ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the slaves of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the slaves of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members slaves to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members slaves to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the slaves of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become enslaved to God, ye have fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The first point this morning is, you are a slave. Very simple, very difficult, because who wants to be a slave? But the question we must answer is, whose slave are you? You see, it's not a question of, are you a slave? It is a question of, whose slave are you? You are a slave to something. Matter of fact, you will discover that those who claim to be the most free, the most independent, the most in control of their own selves, are actually those who are in the greatest amount of bondage. You are a slave. These verses bring it out very clearly. The question is, to what or to whom? You are a slave to the one whom you obey. That's what we read here. You are a slave to the one to whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness. There's just those two options this morning. We are one or the other. And the first reality it mentions here is, you can be a slave to sin. And we want to spend just a little bit of time with that this morning. There are two forms to this bondage. One is that you're dead in sin. You are a slave in bondage because you have not made a choice to be God's slave. You have not made a choice to free yourself from being a slave in bondage. The second struggle is what many of us know all too well. We as Christians struggle with certain things. At least I do. We all have battles that we must deal with that are personal battles. What may be a struggle for you may not be a struggle for me. But what may be a struggle for me may not be a struggle for you. We all struggle with sin. But I want you to know, in Christ Jesus, as his slave, a slave by choice, there is an overcoming that sin, and there is a great difference between a believer who struggles with sin and grows progressive in victory over that sin. There's a great difference between that person and a person who says he is a Christian yet constantly is in bondage and slavery to sin. There is a struggle, but at the same time, victory, growing more and more toward that goal, which is to be like Christ Jesus. But if your life is marked by a constant slavery to sin, then you need to take a careful look at who is your master. Because the Christian life should not be marked by bondage to sin. Yet, there are many people who are enslaved to sin, even though they sit in church every Sunday morning. Yes, immediately our minds probably go to, you know, bondage to porn and bondage to immorality. And that's a bondage. But there are other things that indicate you are a slave to sin and not a slave to righteousness. Bondage to anger, bondage to hatred, bondage to bitterness, bondage to unforgiveness. Are you in bondage to those things? The reality is, if so, you are a slave in bondage. But sadly, this morning, it doesn't stop there, and it comes a lot closer home than that. At least it does for me, a lot closer home than anger and hatred and bitterness and unforgiveness. And we find this in Matthew 6, 5. And I'll read that verse for you, but I'll label it this way so you know where I'm going with this. You can be a slave to the glory of men. Matthew 6, 5, talking about the Pharisees. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. And actually what that means is they have their reward in full. To me, this is one of the most terrifying verses in Scripture. God will give you the desires of your heart. He will not force you to be a slave. If you want to be a slave in bondage, He will allow that. And what's also terrifying about this, and think about this with me for a moment, these Pharisees, the only thing they desired was the glory of man. They wanted the respect of men. They desired to have a reputation among men. And that was the desire of their heart, and God gave them their desire in full. Not meagerly, but completely in full. They were slaves of righteousness. Sorry, I said that wrong. They were slaves in sin. They were slaves in bondage in righteous activities. And that's where it can come very close home in my heart. You know, it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there yet at that point. It hurts even more. We know not to be like the Pharisees. And we might say religiously, I don't desire the praise of men as far as my religious activities. I'll go to church, I'll pray, I'll do all the right religious things. But do you desire the praise of men and other things? Do you desire their applause? Do you desire their agreement? The nod of their head when they look at you? Do you want the community to think well of you? We can be so shaped by our desire to have the glory of men that we can't even see it. The clothing we wear, the messages we preach, the car we drive, the home you own. You know, someone is telling you what to do, what to wear, how to look, what to say. Someone, something is influencing you in that. And everything about you is shaped much more than you can ever imagine by the desire to be respected of men and for them to think well of you. We need to realize these things have a whole lot more of a hold on us than we may be able to see or are willing to admit. We are shaped by our desire for the glory of men. So we're talking about being a slave in bondage. And we went from maybe the seemingly the more hard things, like we talked about the moral things, and then the anger, and then the hatred, and the lust, and the bitterness, and the unforgiveness. And now we can be a slave in bondage because of the glory of men. Does it stop there? How hard is this going to hurt? What about being a slave to the things of this world? That's closely related, but that's found in 1 John 2:15 where it says, "Love not the world, neither the things of the world that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not in the world, Father, but is of the world." So the question is, are you enslaved to the things of this world? How do we know whether we're enslaved to the things of the world? Well, I think there is one answer that'll answer that question. Whether or not we are in a slave in bondage to the things of this world, and that answer is, what consumes your thoughts? What do you think about the most? And if you honestly answer that question, I think you will have put your finger directly on the master that you are a slave to. Everything in this world has the possibility to be our master, and we can be a slave in bondage to anything in this world. Okay, surely that's enough. I find one more yet in 2 Timothy 3:2. And it says, and maybe this sums up everything we've been talking about, because I think this might be the root issue. 2 Timothy 3:2 says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." We can be a slave in bondage to our own self. And this has even crept into the church. It's all about me, my. Me is a monster you can't feed. You can never give him enough, because the more you give him, the bigger he gets, and the more he gets, the more he wants. It's a never-ending cycle of constantly serving self. It is a slave in bondage. How does this express itself? You will find it very difficult to have any type of relationship if you are a slave in bondage to self. And we know that that expresses itself mostly in our spiritual lives. We struggle to have a relationship with God. And then we struggle to have relationships with those around us. Might it be because we are a slave in bondage to ourself? I agree this morning that this is a very distressing picture. So let's go to number two this morning. The second point is, choose your master. You don't need to choose to be a slave in bondage. That will happen because that's who we are without choosing to be a slave of Jesus. Let's go back to Romans 1:1, and you'll probably remember these words. Don't need to turn there, but Paul says, "I am a slave to Christ Jesus." We are not forced to be slaves of God. We choose this position. We want this position. Who would want to be a slave? We are slaves of Christ, but here is the wonderful and very striking thing. To be a slave of Jesus Christ is true freedom. And the classic paradox of the kingdom of light is, freedom leads to slavery, and slavery leads to freedom. As people are set free through Christ from slavery to sin, they enter a new slavery to Christ. And unlike the slave in bondage, unlike the bondage of sin, Christ is the perfect master. And that's, again, a blessing, and it's hard for us to imagine, because there is so much negative about being a slave. We desire from our heart to be a slave of Jesus Christ. A slave to Christ will lead to freedom. You know, there is in the heart of every individual a desire to be free, to be totally free. And I believe that is what attracts us to the gospel. Because we want freedom, and the lie of Satan is that we think the path to freedom lies in what we have already mentioned that actually leads to being a slave in bondage. The praise of men, the things of this world, fashion, wealth, self. Jesus said, in John 8 that if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. It's your choice. We choose to become God's slave. And may I remind you what a slave is. A slave is bought with a price. A slave is in the absolute control of his master. A slave's singular goal is to carry out the will of his master. A slave is completely dependent on his master for what is necessary for life. And a slave is entirely accountable to his master. And what's so amazing about this, this is the journey to freedom. Is it easy? Absolutely not. I do not want to paint this morning that this is an easy journey. But it's the path to freedom. And the question is, so how does this work? How does this work that we find freedom in being a slave of Jesus Christ? Well, I'll say it this way. You know, Jesus says to you, I want your language. And you say to God, okay, God, here's my language. And he says, I want your thought life too. Jesus says, I want your anger. And you say, okay, God, he says, I want your resentment also. Jesus says, I want your cash. And you say, okay, God, here's my cash. And God says, I want your motive for saving also. Jesus says, I want your Sunday. And you say, okay, I'll worship you on Sunday. And he says, God says, I want your Monday, your Tuesday, your Wednesday, your Thursday. I want you all week long. Jesus says, I want your wandering eyes. You say, okay, God, I'll watch my eyes. And he says, I want your imaginations also. Jesus says, I want your time. And you say, okay, God, I'll give you my time. And God says, I want your entertainment also. Now, do we serve a demanding taskmaster or what? Does he want everything we have? No, this morning we are privileged to be the slave of a perfect master whose ultimate goal is to set us free. And I want you to get this. Our perfect master knows that everything Jesus is asking us to give up are the very things that are keeping us bound as a slave in sin. And those are the things that he is asking us to let go of so that we can find freedom. But yet those are the things we feel we need to hang on to because we want to be free. And yet they take us further and further into bondage. Last point of the message is consider the consequences. Why is it so hard to consider the consequences when we are in the pleasure of the moment? Why is it so hard to consider the consequences when we are living life to the fullest? So the question is, what will happen to a slave in bondage? What will happen to the slave of God? We have it here in our passage from Romans 6, 23. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The slave in bondage will be given death because that is what he has earned. That's his wages. That's what he has coming to him. The slave by choice will be handed a gift, and that gift cannot be earned. And that gift is life eternal with our perfect master in his beautiful mansion. Now we know where we want to end up. The question is, are we doing what it takes to end up where we want to end up? And here's what is most exciting about all this, but we don't have time to examine it in full. And in God's view, and as we become slaves by choice, he takes us and he accepts us and he adopts us into his family as sons and daughters. We desire to be his slave. And he changes that whole thing. And we could go into the subject of adoption, but we don't have time for that this morning. So the question I leave with you this morning is, are you a slave by choice or a slave in bondage? Who is your master? Who is telling you what to do? What is the one thing in your life that defines who you are? Would you say, I'm a slave of Christ, everything and all for Jesus, no matter the cost? Or are you in bondage, struggling to find freedom? This morning, Jesus can set you free. If there's anything in your life, and I want to highlight this as well, if there's anything in your life that you feel God is telling you to let go of, you need to let go of it, because it will pull you into being a slave in bondage. You will become a slave in bondage. And this morning, let's find the freedom that comes by being a slave by choice. We serve God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. God help us in this. Let's kneel for prayer.